Mini-episode 369 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by that NBA Lottery Pick, your pop culture-influenced look at the world of hoops. Follow them on the web at that NBALotteryPick.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, everyone, welcome to Pantheon Purge / Pantheon Redemption. It's Pantheon 8, celebrating the 7th anniversary of the FDH Lounge. We have with us the esteemed panel, most of which was here for Pantheon 7. With me, my fellow original FDH Lounge dignitary, Chris Galloway. Also, longtime FDH Lounge dignitaries, John Adams, Anthony Patrone, and Matt Patrone. Breaking it down, we have taken Chris's idea, we've embraced his concept of getting rid of the worst from these ones. So what we have done is to go ahead and to get rid of them, and we did that by a process of balloting of a number of folks. We will be doing replacements for as many as we can get through today. We have 9 vacancies. We will try to work that all out, and we'll see how far we get. What I'd like to take a look at, first of all, here is the survivors, if you will. And some of these came closer to being purged than others. In the end, we needed a total of 7 purge votes in each category, because there were 13 ballots that I got back. It was a little less than usual. It was over the holidays, but on the bright side, it was the people who are more firmly committed to the Pantheon who ended up doing this. So I do appreciate that. We all participated. We are 5 of the 13 who balloted in this. So it took 7 purges. It took a majority of those votes. Here's the ones from Pantheon 1 that survived. The number of votes that they got to purge, and we'll do some thoughts about that as we go along through each of them here. For best, this is from, again, Pantheon 1, July 20th, 2008, and ultimately, that was the first time that we did this, that we convened to do the best of the best. 8 sports, 8 non-sports, and I think that that has, we haven't done 16 in the times since always. We have 100 total that are in here. So from the first night that we elected Pantheon crew, July 20th, 2008, here's the ones that made it. Here's how close they came to getting purged. Best President Ronald Reagan, he was on the bubble to the very end. He had 6 votes to purge, but he sticks. Best non-U.S. country, Canada, 5 votes. Best movie, Godfather, 3 votes. Best thespian, Kevin Costner, 11. We will be talking about that later, but the best thespian is going to be tackled subsequently. Best bombshell, Raquel Welch, 4 votes. She sticks. Best musical act of all time, thank God, Bon Jovi is purged with 10. Best TV show, All in the Family, 4. Best TV or movie cartoon character, Bugs Bunny, 3. Best comic book character, Superman, 1. Best wrestler, pro wrestler, that is, Ric Flair with 1 vote to purge. 1 vote to purge Jim Brown as best pro football player of all time. Michael Jordan, our first unscathed member of the FDH Lounge Pantheon. No votes to purge him for best hoops player of all time. Best race car driver, Richard Petty, 2 votes to purge. Best hockey player of all time, Wayne Gretzky, 1 vote to purge. Best baseball pitcher, thank God, this is another one we get to readdress, Nolan Ryan with 9 votes to purge. And best home run hitter, Babe Ruth, 3 votes to purge. By the way, I think I misspoke earlier as I'm looking at this. So there were 12 ballots that came back, not 13. But the point remains still that it takes 7 to purge on this. So I know there've got to be some thoughts, a little bit of booing from Anthony on Ronald Reagan surviving. He came close. Chris and I talked about this off air. I hadn't voted for Reagan the first time around like people assume that I would have, but I voted for Calvin Coolidge. Having said that, again, I'm thinking if you're first tier, if you're second tier, close enough. I'm not going to vote to purge. I had a little bit of a higher standard, a higher bar, whatever it was going to take for me to cast a purge vote. Chris, I know that you were looking at it a little bit differently, and your purge bar was a lot lower than mine was.
Well, I think my purge bar was a lot higher in that, like floodwaters, I was willing to purge the living heck out of almost everything on this entire pantheon.
Okay.
I think I don't know if you kept track, but I might have voted to purge about 88 of all winners. Somewhere in that ballpark.
I think Johnny counted it. I think you were at 52, right?
Is that right? 52 or 53. I think Nate had 63. And I myself had 50.
That must have been being a lot more generous that day than I realized. There must have been a few I disagreed with, but I went, maybe we can let that stick. But there were a number of categories that I'm just outraged that are not being heard today. And I think you vote again. post-holiday on the next Pantheon for someone. And maybe that's the process of each Pantheon is you add categories. Maybe there's, you know, well, and are there any more we want to purge? We can vote purge on. You might let one or two in and purge one or two out. Who knows? It'll be a fluid process. Obviously, I was, there's too many to count at once, but best president, Ronald Reagan, was a very good president. I like Ronald Reagan a lot. I think Ronald Reagan would be the first to tell you he was not the greatest president of all time, especially with, you know, some fellas in there that are pretty big. Let's call them George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Yeah, those guys really didn't do anything.
I think you
anything.
Named, like, one that I'm good with.
You know, they didn't do much. I have some issues with the Reagan one. I have, you know, non-U.S. country, Canada. I love Canada, but I'm sorry, no.
We weren't very creative on that. There's some of these.
There were a whole bunch that I definitely had issues with, and I'm looking forward to getting this process started.
Okay. Anybody else really outraged by any of the ones that survived from the first one? Or?
Well, basically, my thing was the same thing as Chris. I mean, you know, Reagan did do a few good things, but when you go back to major presidents, nobody's going to look back 40 years from now and say, wow, that Ronald Reagan passed it.
I don't think that's exactly what Chris was saying, but, you know.
I mean, he was a president.
Okay.
He was agreeing with Chris.
Okay. Okay. All right. I guess, you know, it depends on, as is always the case, how
the
we
define. The threshold isn't even fantastic. It's greatest president ever.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Doesn't meet greatest president ever.
It's supposed to be the best of the best. Yeah. And that's where, again, some of these fall
short.
Hey,
look, you know, Reagan's in my top six, there's no doubt,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily number one.
Okay. I understand that. And that's more or less where I'm coming from. Like I said, I classified him somewhere first tier, second tier, whatever. And to me, if you were that close, I wasn't going to do it. If somebody had nominated somebody that I really wasn't down with in any way, then, you know, it might have been a little bit different story. If we're talking Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford, somebody like that, I would have looked at it a little different.
I mean, heck, Thomas Jefferson purchased one-third of the nation
right.
through the Louisiana Purchase for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
Just that alone
right.
puts him ahead of Reagan.
Well, you know, and he was very progressive in a way, getting his swerve on in a way that Strom Thurmond would replicate a couple hundred years later. So, you know, there is that. I'm sure that wasn't part of your general point.
I don't know that you consider a slave owner as progressive, but nice try. Really nice try.
Yeah, probably not. The tongue would have to be pretty far in cheek on that one. So that's the ones from Pantheon 1. Pantheon 2, nobody got purged. This was very interesting as we run through these. This is from July 22nd, 2009, a year and 2 days after the first Pantheon class was inducted. Your winners, best pro sports coach or manager, Paul Brown, best sporting event, Super Bowl, best fantasy sport, football. Football survived this time around, and again, football had over 50% of the ballots cast initially. This time around, Paul Brown had 4 votes to purge. Super Bowl had 1. Fantasy football had 1 vote to purge. Best Olympic sport, hockey. There were 3 votes to purge that. No votes, and I'm very happy on this one here. The guy was just the MC or whatever you want to call it, of the Rose Parade. It would have been very distasteful to purge him right about now. Play-by-play, greatest of all time, the great Vin Scully. No votes, purge him. Best color commentator, John Madden, 3 votes to purge.
Boom.
Best sports movie, Bull Durham, 6 votes to purge. That one came close, and most of the no votes came in late, but it did survive. Best movie villain, the Heath Ledger Joker version, and that was 4 votes to purge. 3 of the last 4 came in at the very end, but it wasn't enough. Best pro wrestling manager, Bobby the Brain Heenan, no votes to purge. Another one of the ones here that is in our unscathed class. Best non-sports video game, Grand Theft Auto, 4 votes to purge. Best musical guilty pleasure, Phil Collins' air drum solo to In the Air Tonight, 4 votes to purge. Best non-U.S. city, Toronto, 5 votes to purge. Best U.S. city, 5 votes to purge. That was New York. Same 5 people voting to purge Toronto and New York. Very interesting as I look at the spreadsheet here. Best political scandal, Watergate, 1 vote to purge. 2 votes to purge the Soup Nazi as the best Seinfeld episode, and 6 votes. Close but no cigar to purge Mr. Whipple for best commercial of all time. That was one where Nate Noy, another one of our original FDH Lounge dignitaries, had opined that it kind of does make us look a little bit geriatric having that as a choice. It surprised me the first time around that it made it through because Chris, you know, you and I, Donnie probably also. We're, like, barely old enough to remember that. I don't even know if the Patrons are, because we got about 10 years on them, give or take. But that's, like, a relic of our childhood, and that managed to make it through. So Mr. Whipple kind of surprised me, but it does survive this time.
Mr. Whipple is last. And I actually appreciate, I voted to purge it only because I was feeling a little ornery on that one. But I don't necessarily have a problem, Mr. Whipple. When you think back, I mean, commercials are certainly a 60-year recent. I like the fact that this panel finally got some historical perspective,
yeah,
which, in my opinion, generally was greatly lacking in some of the decision votes that are made. I think if you look at non-U.S. city Toronto, along with non-U.S. country Canada, it's clear that most of these folks on our panel have never gone anywhere than the United States or Canada, and therefore they go, well, Canada, and I've been to Toronto, so that's cool. Again, I voted purge both of those, and I would seriously ask all my fellow panel members to reconsider or purge on those two categories, sure.
All right. Anybody else got any thoughts on these ones? It doesn't appear to be the case. All right. Moving to Pantheon 3. These were inducted February 17th, 2010. Best sports writer, Terry Pluto, Cleveland's own Terry Pluto. 5 votes to purge, so he came relatively close. One that we will be readdressing, thank God. I was a big fan of his as a player, but get real. Best underappreciated athlete of all time, Kenny Lofton. There are 8 votes to purge him, a majority. We'll be addressing that later. Best heavyweight boxer of all time, Muhammad Ali. No votes to purge him. He is among the unscathed. Also, he was elected with over 50% of the ballots initially. So Muhammad Ali, one of our most decorated Pantheon winners ever. The best non-heavyweight boxer, Sugar Ray Leonard, 1 vote to purge. Best MMA competitor, Chuck Liddell, 1 vote to purge. Miracle on Ice, 1 vote to purge that from Nate Noy. By the way, let's take a second to tool on him for that one. He said, you know, I would have said that maybe even a couple months ago, but I don't know, man. This 2013 Iron Bowl, you know, I don't know. So, Chris?
Wow. You talk about, you know, what have you had done for me lately?
Yeah.
And Mr. Short-Term Memory.
You know, Kyle Ross, one of our guys, likes to say prisoner of the moment. Does anything encapsulate prisoner of the moment?
That's
better than
that? That is exactly that. Listen, even that night after that Iron Bowl,
yeah,
when people were screaming, maybe the greatest college football game ever. I'm like, this was a great game. Already trying to say it was the greatest football game ever? No, it wasn't.
Yeah, that's just how it goes as far as how people look at it. Best sports executive, Bill Polian, 3 votes to purge. And best sports stadium or arena, Wrigley Field, 2 votes to purge. Next one was perfect. Best sports video game, Madden Football. No votes to purge. Also, it was elected with over 50% of the vote. So like Muhammad Ali, one of our most decorated inductees ever. Best pro wrestling tag team, the Road Warriors, only 1 vote to purge. Best talk show host of all time, Johnny Carson. No votes to purge. He is unscathed. Best TV character of all time, Cosmo Kramer, 6 votes to purge, and that was a late flood. The last 4 votes that came in were to purge him, but it just wasn't enough. Best foreign food, Italian, 2 votes. Best comedian, Richard Pryor, 2 votes to purge, and best live musical act, Bruce Springsteen, 4 votes to purge. Thank God this is another one that we're taking out of here. Best sandwich of all time, Goodman's corned beef from the now-defunct Goodman's restaurant in Parma, Ohio, 9 votes to purge. So we'll be readdressing that one there. So Pantheon 3, a real mixed bag here of inductees. And we're getting rid of some of the ones out of there, fortunately, I think. Pantheon 2, we're not getting rid of anybody. Pantheon 3, we are. Anything of the ones that survived really stick in anybody's craw?
Well, the one I'm upset about that I did over Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
Because I never liked him as an artist to begin with.
Okay.
And after I saw that, I went back and watched Bruce Springsteen videos.
Okay.
He's not really all that exciting. And when you say
no,
best,
he's not.
When you say best live, you want somebody that's going to make you feel like if you close your eyes, you're missing.
I will say his stadium show in 85 was bitching, but he didn't play Rosalita. So that kind of tweaked me a little bit there. I found that to be forgivable in the end. But, yeah, that was it was a real, real interesting class of characters there at Pantheon 3. Any other thoughts from the crew here?
I was sad to see that foreign food, Italian, was remained. That was, I don't know, that's, again, seemed like
what would be a better one?
Reflect some things Chris said about folks not being too edgy with their food choices.
We don't all live in Tremont.
I'm sure it was all like, you know, an Italian meant that Giorgio's pizza. Which,
yeah,
by the way, we are enjoying pizza from the fine people at Giorgio's Oven Fresh Pizza. Go on down to Giorgio's and get yourself a pizza, folks.
Free plug. They don't deserve a free plug. I had to pay for that.
Oh. Well, maybe next time you'll get some free pizza.
Exactly, yeah.
Hey, they were a sponsor for the Unheard Scene for a little while.
Were they?
So, yeah.
Okay.
We can respect that.
Let's go back to that. What would have been a better one, Johnny? Like Pad Thai or something? something here? What are you thinking?
I don't know. See what the others like, but I kind of enjoy Indian. Thai food is good. Japanese, I mean, you know.
And I also looked at this category like, did we just mean a generic? I mean, there's things in Italian that I love, like more than Italian or Florentine, say Sicilian. So I think it's some of these are just too broad. I took it more specific, like a foreign food that is, you know.
More specific food.
Yeah,
okay.
Like say let's call it sushi. Now certainly sushi's been Americanized to a degree,
mm-hmm.
As we have everything. I mean, pizza has been Americanized. Spaghetti's been Americanized. Chinese food is American. I can guarantee you the Chinese people don't eat deep-fried crab ragoon for every meal. And have all the MSG and all that other stuff. But, so we've Americanized these things. So I didn't take it as, you know, one big, you know, French food. Or
okay.
I was thinking along the lines of, is there a foreign food or at least a smaller subcategory that might rate?
So maybe foreign dish would be a better title for that. Right?
Yeah, if we're going to redo that one subsequently, that's a very good point. I got a fun one for you guys on that before we move ahead here. This being when we were voting on it at the time. And this being one of the last ones that we did. It was the second last one we did in the era of when we were doing our shows at the Sports Talk Network. At the time, I was co-hosting. I was co-hosting a hockey show at the time with a young man named Kyle O'Rourke, who was a hockey journalist from London, Ontario. So Kyle, being a good Canadian fella, voting in the Pantheon that time around, Mr. O'Rourke, casts a ballot for, you're going to love this one. His vote was for Canadian Chinese food, specifically Chinese places that were up there by where he was.
All righty then.
Yeah. Chris, how's that for a qualifier?
Wow. Well, I guess that is foreign. I mean, that is a foreign food.
You did
Canadian
say specifically
Chinese.
Is what you
more
wanted.
Specific.
That's true. You know, that's like, you know, Italian food in Rwanda.
Yeah. That remains one of my favorite ballots that anybody has cast ever. As I say, that was the penultimate one that were done in the era of the live shows there. The final one in that era of the FDH Lounge program in our 7 years of history was Pantheon 4, Best of the Best, November 10th, 2010. This one, as I recall, was adjudicated at the late, great Harpo Sports Cafe in Brook Park, back when STN was between studios and there was a prolonged period of time of doing remotes there. So that was a kind of fun one, atmospherically.
I will make comments, but okay. We'll keep them button-lipped for right now.
All right. That was a fun one. It was from the excellent balcony area there. By the way, side note, parenthetically, when doing the shows at Harpo's, it was great because I could always celebrate a great show afterwards by going and playing Arctic Thunder there right next to the thing. It just shaking the piss out of the floor up in the balcony playing Arctic Thunder. That was a lot of fun. Arctic Thunder rules. All right, from Pantheon 4, November 10th, 2010. Best Super Bowl ever. Boy, you want to talk prisoner of the moment. Steelers-Cardinals Super Bowl 43, and yet, sadly, that survived. It only had four purge votes. The next,
yeah, I'm just I looked at that one and I almost voted to purge. In fact, I think I did, and then I deleted it out. And the reason why I didn't vote to purge that one was because I thought some of these, I figured it was maybe throwing my hands up a bit because I just figured with all the Super Bowls we would never get to a consensus.
Okay,
we just never would. I don't think.
No, that was tough. That one was pretty bifurcated. I had voted for Broncos Packers. I thought that was best one, but I think that only got one other vote.
How about the Jets win with Donnie? Well, again, at the time.
Yeah, at the time, yeah. I guess so.
It was a huge upset.
It was a huge one. As far as memorable games, this next one here was unscathed. Nobody voted to purge this next one. Best comeback game ever, Bills-Oilers 1-3-93. The all-time ultimate edition of a comeback there. I think, it was 35-3 Oilers at halftime. Frank Reich leads them back for the 38-35 win in the second half. I know you remember that
one. Yeah, I think it was 41-38. I'm not.
Maybe it was 41-38.
But yeah, okay. Frank Reich did lead them back.
Yeah.
Was watching the game at halftime and blew it off, thinking this game's over.
Yeah.
Only to come back and see the wild ending. Yeah.
Yeah. That was I
voted to keep that one in there because it was obviously it's one of the top, without even arguing, the three top greatest comebacks.
It's
of
iconic.
All time. But the reason I didn't purge it and why it probably should be number one because it happened with their backup quarterback, not the Hall of Famer in Kelly.
Yeah.
It was their backup who did that.
Yeah, Yeah, that's a very good point.
That adds to epic. That's the salsa on top.
It does. And there's a number of these in here as we go through the categories. Because, again, the Patrones, slightly younger than the other three of us here. We're more or less in the same age there.
How old are the Patrones?
30s, right?
39. I'm five.
All right. Okay, you're closer to us than I thought.
I'm 34.
So you're almost Johnny's age. All right. For whatever reason, I was thinking a few years younger. Okay, so we're...
I'm 34, so I'm a little younger.
All right, so we're all within 10 years. My point being, there are some of these that are generational touchstones. Everybody remembers that game. Everybody does. We're close enough in age that we all remember that game.
I don't remember that game because I didn't see it.
You didn't see it? You missed a hell of a game.
I remember it.
Yeah.
I remember that game because when I was a kid, I was a huge Bills fan. I was all about the Bills.
Yeah, and that one was deservedly. So you talk generational touchstones also. Good segue to the next one. This one survived with no votes as well. Unscathed. Best single season pro team regardless of sports. The 95-96 Chicago Bulls with 72 wins. Nobody voted to purge them. Best pro franchise. The New York Yankees. While there might have been bile in the throats of many of us, there were only three votes to purge.
I was one of those because I don't believe the Yankees should ever get a pass for anything.
Okay. I understand that, Chowd. And like, I hate the Yankees too. You know, I'm with you on that. You know, but still. I tried to be unbiased. I don't know. I guess I was just proving myself I was being unbiased. Although on the next one, I voted to purge. I'm not a big fan of this guy or his program. Best college coach, regardless of sport, Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, surviving with only four votes against him. Best tradition in sports, the handshake line after a Stanley Cup hockey playoff series, only one vote to purge. Best college football program, five votes to purge, Ohio State. So they survive. Best genre of motorsports, Sprint Cup, only one vote to purge. Best monster bad guy in pro wrestling, three votes to purge The Undertaker, so he sticks around. Best movie franchise, Star Wars, three votes to purge. Best innovative TV series, 24, four votes to purge. Best song ever, Stairway to Heaven. This came closer to getting purged than I thought perhaps it might. There were six votes to purge. Best continent. There were two self-hating individuals, Chris included, who voted to take that away from us in North America. So North America sticks around with only two votes to purge. Best fast food meal or sandwich, the Mr. Hero cheeseburger. Thank God, seven votes to purge. So we're going to redo that one. Best American tradition, Independence Day. No votes to purge. And best animal in a zoo or fish. Animal in a zoo or fish in an aquarium, the dolphin. Four votes to purge. Interestingly, the last four. So there was a lot of momentum, but not nearly enough. So thoughts on the ones that made it?
Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
Definitely longest song. One of the longest songs. I wouldn't say greatest. I mean, there's not... The music fits, but there's nothing special about any of it.
It's like
words,
the default setting on a computer.
The words, the lyrics, there's nothing special to any of it.
Yeah. It's one of our more generic, like, let's just say Stairway. that's how everybody approached it.
Well, I disagree with his analysis on Stairway, but then that comes back into the, and maybe it should have been, maybe I should have voted to purge, maybe I should update my vote now, and we can purge it right now. And then you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm voting to purge. Now it has seven.
All right.
It's dead.
And
now we will begin the process of this argument as to why it is actually the best song.
All right.
Because I don't see how you're going to get a consensus. On what other song are you know?
Well, understand this. The way
and
we
no, Rick, ABBA is not eligible.
I really, really wanted to do Fernando, but
I
that's
know
okay.
You did.
Well, as far as it goes with this, though, keep in mind we're not including purge ones for the redemption. So don't vote against Stairway only to have it revoted later because we can't do that. So was that going to be your MO?
We can't redo. We're redoing these others.
No, but I mean, if you've been purged, you don't get a second chance to be purged. If you're purged, you're not eligible for revote.
Oh, sure you are. Absolutely, you should be. Because my argument has been that the way they got in necessarily was somewhat of a bastardized way. It doesn't necessarily mean that they shouldn't be eligible. Maybe there's several more years of perspective.
All right.
Maybe Stairway. I don't remember the original voting. I mean, maybe it had a legitimate.
It was very, very bifurcated, but it was, because you had people, like we were all voting for our favorite songs.
Everything is back on the table, even the ones that have been purged.
It's fine
if they are able to reprove themselves.
I voted for Paper Cut. I don't think anybody joined me in voting for that, but I didn't expect that they would, quite frankly. But, such is life. All right, that one joins the list here. Pantheon 5. This was November 4th, 2011, and here's what got inducted and what became of them. Best Clutch performer regardless of sport, Michael Jordan. Only two votes to purge him. It's funny because one of them came from the aforementioned Nate Noy, who voted against him only because he was so fanatical that it should be Joe Montana and nobody else. Then I mentioned that to our senior editor, Jason Jones, who says, what's he talking about? Montana's not even a lock for top 10 of all time, maybe top 15 quarterbacks. So it was kind of funny hearing both ends of the spectrum there. Best clutch performer regardless of sport, and that is, again, it's all in how you define it, I suppose. There's different ways of looking at it, but we end up sticking with Michael Jordan. Best comeback by an athlete regardless of sport, Josh Hamilton, six votes to purge. I bitterly regret that this one sticks around in there, but it does. Best motorsports event, the Indianapolis 500, no votes to purge it, unscathed. Best sports website, ESPN.com, five votes to purge, so in the end, ultimately, we stay with our relatively banal kind of choice there. Best athlete in an individual sport, Michael Phelps, five votes to purge. He came close. Best college sports program. This is very interesting. College hoops. Okay. College hoops program. Duke, six votes to purge. And yet, it made it in with over 50% of the vote the first time around. So it simultaneously almost got purged and yet was a pretty consensus winner. Best pro wrestling group or stable, the NWO, two votes to purge. Best vacation spot outside the USA, Australia, three votes to purge. Best TV-turned movie star, Tom Hanks, no votes to purge. Best decade of music, the 1980s, three votes to get rid of that. Best snack food, popcorn, six votes. Busted out of there, so it almost gets drummed out, but not quite. And best American success story, Steve Jobs, five votes to purge. Keep in mind that this vote came, I believe under a month after he passed away. And Kyle Ross was one of the panelists for the show that night, and he said, this is exhibit A for what I'm talking about with Prisoner of the Moment. And yet it made it in anyways.
Why I voted to purge it.
Yeah, you know, it's... I mean, I didn't just because, like, it's the same thing to me as Reagan. Like, is he somewhere in the discussion?
Yeah.
Steve Jobs has to be, you know, but that's how I looked at it. Again, we all have our own criteria. Any additional thoughts on five?
Well, I would just, you know, defend my non-purging of ESPN.com.
Okay.
And I know how much you loathe the folks in Bristol.
The world wide
I'm not speaking to those types of issues, but just when you think of a sports website and its variations and volume, can't think of another website that has this much variety, volume, depth in terms of various things. I mean, it's got more than anything.
Do you feel that's objectively better than CBSSports.com?
Look, CBSSports.com is very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. And some things even are better than ESPN. I'll give you an example. America's Cup coverage.
Okay.
They were far better.
Okay.
I just think overall they edge out.
I believe the Patrons narrowly. Were also glued to the yacht racing also, right? Maybe I'm remembering that wrong. I'm sorry, my dry sense of humor going over everyone's head.
But,
there.
You know, you talk about, you know, this last America's Cup, Oracle, Team Oracle, the
yeah.
U.S. defender.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the category for best comeback was game, which is why I didn't vote purge and then re-vote and nominate this past America's Cup.
Oh, okay.
Because if a comeback during a sporting event, you might be able to make the argument that it was the greatest comeback ever in a sporting event.
Okay.
Because obviously each regatta out, each race was mm-hmm. its part of the overall race.
Okay.
And considering how far down Oracle was and how close they were to being eliminated, and to come back and win that many races consecutively against an extremely strong Kiwi team was amazing.
Right.
They were written off for dead.
Mm-hmm.
And to come back in the fashion that they did was staggering.
Right.
But clearly one of the greatest comebacks in sports history.
It was pretty epic. I wasn't following it nearly as closely, but I did hear about that. Similarly, I can tell you, Johnny, I would have voted for, had he been able to complete the process here, Magnum TA, the summer of 86, the best of seven U.S. title series against Nikita Koloff. He went down 0-3 in the best of seven series. He lost the seventh match. You know? Yeah. Yeah. So we move on to Pantheon Part 6, June 3rd, 2012. The inductees, best quarterback Joe Montana, there were two votes to purge him. Best goalie Patrick Waugh, one vote to purge him. Proving how objective I am as an Avs loather, I was not the one vote to purge him.
That was you, me.
Matt. Yeah.
Only because you didn't specify hockey goalie.
Well,
if you would have specified that as the hockey goalie, then it might have been different.
Who'd you vote for the first time? That
Hope
Solo.
Hope Solo.
I'm sorry.
For U.S. soccer team.
Okay.
And if you would have, like I said, if you would have just said hockey goalie, I probably wouldn't vote it because
okay.
I don't know any goalies
All
for
right.
hockey.
All right. Well, looking at this next one here, I actually requested this as a purge. I appreciate everybody doing it the first time around here, but voting for best sports blog, the FDH Lounge. Thank you to those who voted with me on that and voted to purge it out of there. It's not a good look for us, quite frankly, which is the only thing I really care about. as regards that category, so we'll be revoting that one. Best coach at both the college and pro levels in either football or basketball. We might be a month away from coaching Omaha Pete being in that discussion, but in the interim, Larry Brown sticks around in there with three votes to purge. Best TV sports innovation. This was one of our great debates that we had. This was a lot of fun. The first down line, there were only two votes to purge that. The 1991 World Series, four votes to purge. I had somebody characterize it to me. I think it was good old Platinum Smalls, one of our dignitaries, as prisoner of the moment. I was like, 1991? What are you talking about? That was a long time ago. But just the fact that it was in our lifetimes. Best pro wrestling announcer, Jim Ross, one vote to purge. Best chain restaurant, we're going to be revoting this one, eight votes to purge McDonald's. So the patrons get what they wanted. Woohoo! So, well, we all get what we wanted, but they really wanted it for some reason. So we will purge that one. Best under the radar vacation spot, under publicized vacation spot, rather. Ogle Bay Resort in Wheeling, West Virginia sticks around with six votes. It almost got purged. Best album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles, two votes to purge. Best spinoff of all time on TV, Frasier, two votes to purge. And best act of presidential leadership, Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, one vote to purge by Nate Noy, who said, I know this may be controversial, but he said, hey, you know, everybody gives Lincoln all this credit. Lincoln was a big racist. Lincoln wasn't out to do good things for black people. And, you know, that how much did it really do in the immediate thing here? It took winning the Civil War. The Emancipation Proclamation in and of itself really did nothing. So interesting, cogent points, as always, from Nate Noy, even if they're a little bit crazy.
I thought it was interesting. I was surprised that the first down line only had two votes to purge in terms of TV sports innovation. And then really, as subjective as music can be, I was kind of surprised that Sgt. Pepper only had two votes to purge as well.
It was so splintered on that one. And I don't remember. I think you were here at least part of that day. And that's the day we had the cheddar brats when we were recording this out on the back porch. Okay, so you were there for that. Mm-hmm. All right, so what did you think as far as when it came to that? Because you would have been, depending on when you got here, the debate for TV sports innovation. I was surprised that the Time Score box on TV didn't get more runs.
I see it as HDTV itself. I mean, it's changing how stadiums are doing things. It's motivating people to stay at home rather than spend the money and go to some of these events. The experience you can have, I think, I know it's kind of a broad stroke, but I think as far as it's related to hockey and football, baseball, I mean, name the sport, the HDTV, I think, has really been groundbreaking.
That's a good point.
I think he's right. I mean, I think, and I would agree with him for the point that he just made about the varying number of sports. Because we can point out anything from any one sport telecast, say, and say that's a great thing that they did, you know, other than when Fox tried to highlight the puck.
Right.
That was horrendous. He's right. I mean, HDTV, as a broad stroke, whether it's Olympic sports, football, hockey, baseball, doesn't matter. Maybe less so baseball. I think HD is a little less critical, but he's probably right about that.
It was supposed to be a game changer for hockey, and it's regrettable that it hasn't been. The panoramic look is better for it. It's easier to see the puck, but it hasn't been the game change they were thinking of.
Hockey's a tough, for people that don't love hockey, mm-hmm. hockey's tough on TV.
Yeah.
For a lot of people. Mm-hmm. In ways that it isn't difficult at all. As I tell people that, like, well, I don't really want to watch hockey. But you take them to the hockey game, and they love going to a hockey game live.
Right, yeah.
It's much, you know, people really seem to connect with it a lot more than on TV. And that's really, let's be honest, that's the real reason for football's success.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't planned as such, but the way that the game was designed and then developed through the years mm-hmm. ended up being basically perfectly designed for TV.
Right.
In terms of timeouts and breaks and quarters and television, they look at commercials in and the stoppage and play between, you know, they reset the ball and the time clock and the yard markers. I mean, it's perfectly into a TV world. And I think that's the real bigger reason than anything that football is America's sport because of that. It somehow just ended up being so perfectly situated for TV.
Once
as
a week,
TV
also.
Exploded.
Once a week, it's appointment viewing.
Again, another concept that totally fit TV,
mm-hmm.
and that's why it, you know, and then that trickled into college and then high school in terms of popularity. But mm-hmm. they never got that great TV. The rules didn't work out, so it didn't work as much on TV. I don't know that it'd be as popular that it is.
Well, I also think, and I totally agree with that, but I think also football. It is a point TV. It's an event.
Yeah.
And when you think about even live, and I think TV's really taking it to the next level, but live, you know, people go and they tailgate and they have a great time, and there's mm-hmm. there's 8 home games.
Yeah.
You know, there's not 81 like in baseball.
It fits,
you know,
our lives. Yeah. It really does. It's the kind of thing you can build towards. I'll tell you also, too, you talk about the live hockey experience. I know you're the one guy at this table that knows this firsthand. You want to make somebody a hockey fan for life. Where do you take them? You take them to Bird Arena down at the Harvard on the Hocking, and they will never see sports the same.
Well, I think that's true probably in a number of venues as it relates to hockey. I mean, I won't be such a homer. but most people I know that, you know, once they see hockey a couple times live, end up enjoying it a lot more.
Yeah.
And even if they don't even pick it up necessarily on watching it all the time on TV, they are much more positive about the sport than those that don't,
right,
from what I've been able to do.
Absolutely. So, you know, and this just shows you again that in terms of our discussions on these things, the TV sports one was one of the best ones ever. Because one of the things we talked about, one of our fellow FDH Lounge original dignitaries, Chris, Tim Faust, I think he was the one that pointed out when we had that discussion, these things have all happened during our lifetimes. We are all grizzled enough to remember the more or less blank screen, and they'll pop up like a 2nd and 7, or, you know, hey, we're almost within a couple points where they're going to flash 6 minutes, 38 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, you know? So we can all remember that time, and it's a lot different right now, certainly.
But I think that John's point and his point about HDTV underscores my point about this entire process as it relates to the Pantheon voting itself, is why we all, even if it's something that we like, let's say we all agree with our job, but to urge it and to go through the new process, because he brings up a great point that may not have even been discussed in a broad stroke about HDTV, and that people sitting around or part of that discussion later might go, you know what, he's right, and that's better than my nomination of, you know, the new one now is the field goal.
Yeah.
You know, they've dropped that in now. How far for this field goal kicker in terms of his range?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you paint it with a broad stroke, HDTV probably is. And I think if other members of our panel were to hear that, you might get more votes to purge on a reconsideration.
Part of it is, too, and I will say this in a real looking down from 50,000 feet kind of sense here. Some of this is like when we voted on this. Because I remember on 24 being the best innovative TV series, Jason said to me, he's like, when did we vote on that one? And it turned out to be, I think, the fall of 2010, which was a very good question on his part, because you look at things a little bit differently, not just prisoner of the moment, but it's sort of the opposite of prisoner of the moment, because, you know, as the Big Lebowski might say, new facts have come to light, man, because, you know, things happen sometimes after we put inductees in here, and we'll look about things differently. Yeah, you never know how that's going to go. So another reason.
Well, wait till the day when somebody truly figures out with the web interaction to have a truly interactive television show,
yeah,
in some capacity. Now that will be groundbreaking when they're able to, the technology finally is able to help deliver something like that.
Second screen,
almost like
is
a choose your own adventure that's almost live produced.
Yeah.
You know?
Second screen is like an interim step towards that. I mean, there's a lot now where on live shows people can weigh in real time and everything, but yeah, I mean, the second screen experience is probably leading us to a more integrated kind of thing eventually.
Look what AMC did with Talking Dead.
Yeah.
And they took Walking Dead, an extremely popular show, and then threw an hour program of talking about it,
yeah,
right on its heels.
Yeah.
And the ratings for Talking Dead are huge.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a whole innovation in terms of something different. I mean, you know, what if there was Seinfeld was on at 9 o'clock, and then at 9:30 it was talking about Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Because the technology allowed you to have, you know, people to be able to laugh about it, joke about it, or comment on it. I mean, I wonder how much more we're going to start to see that with other shows and other networks, where if there's a really popular show, a show that follows it, talking about it, and allowing the fans, the fanboys, and the geeks to sit and...
So you're going to just start a whole new network talking about TV shows.
Yeah,
you could. Here's the thing, though, and I'll put in a plug for them, because what they do is really excellent. I don't know if anybody here has watched any shows on AfterBuzz TV, which I think could primarily be found on YouTube, but I would check it out for the shows that I really like. Justified is going to be starting again, which, by the way, plug here also. Jason and I are going to be doing week-by-week Justified coverage on the show here this season, now that I finally got the hook in his mouth here to watch the show. But anyways, there's a lot of this stuff that's online. AfterBuzz TV is doing a great job of it. It's one of the sort of aspirational things for us in terms of having TV discussions on a show when we do, is to hopefully do it at that level. What you're finding, Chris, is networks like that, like AMC, are saying, this kind of stuff's already going on online. There's already an audience for this of some sort. The assumption is it's too niche to be on TV, but let's challenge that assumption and let's see. And what they found out when they tried that for not just Walking Dead, but for Breaking Bad, they found that there is a wide enough audience to make it feasible.
Right. Now, that's a huge change. Mm-hmm. Huge.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see more of that, and you're going to see – I think you're going to see wrinkles of that down the road where somebody gets ballsy enough to try to do a show that's almost fan-dictated on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think that's coming. And it'll be that – you know, that, again, some that kind of development could be almost a self-purging type of thing.
Yeah, that could cause us to have to reevaluate as we go along here.
Well, I think some of that's happened already with some of the shows, although it's not been publicized. I think of the show Chuck, which for years writers were building into, well, this is the end.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the web presence and the phenomenon of fans caused, okay, we're going to sign it up for another season. So several times, season 3, 4, 5, and it only went 5 seasons, you could tell that it could have been an ending, yet it was brought back. I think the one show, I think, that kind of missed it, and I agree with Chris, I would like to see the writers openly asking fan input to kind of dictate some of that. I'm sure that Lost, the writers of Lost, which I think was a phenomenon when it first came out, I also think critically, anytime you add time travel to something, I think you kind of jumped the shark a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But there were times where that show, I have a feeling they had an end game in mind, and it caused such a phenomenon and so much focus for people that there were people that were kind of figured it out what the ending was going to be.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of tweaked it and put it in different directions. I thought, well, who cares? I mean, it's okay that they figured it out. Involve them.
Right. But yeah, there's different ways.
And I voted for Lost rather than 24 in that category, I think, originally. Even though it kind of went astray in the last couple seasons and got a little off. I mean, the first couple seasons of Lost were quite amazing.
Fantastic.
And it was a show that, unfortunately, you know, you had to watch from start to end.
Oh, right.
You couldn't pick up in season 4 and be like, oh, yeah, I know what's going on.
We're all going to
die.
They,
you know, there's no wonder that their numbers can consistently each season went down slowly because as people feel, oh, I forgot to start watching. Oh, I missed 3 episodes. Well, I'm out. No, I can't do this now. I've missed everything.
If we're talking about innovation and things of that nature, then let me drop this on you because this is a theory that I developed in watching Breaking Bad and watching the final season. And I realize that I'm as big of a fanboy for that as anybody ever will be.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. But I will tell you this, though. And from the parts that you've watched, that you'll understand what I'm talking about here, is that I almost feel like that if we're going to talk most innovative, maybe we'll start to see other shows following this and imitating this very narrow genre that I think they created. To me, it's like science fiction, but without the science fiction. What I mean by that is they used, in a couple cases, flash forwards. I know you're far enough along to have seen the season 2 ones, if nothing else. But with all the clues and the things that were in there and everything like that, and the theory that this is a world that was created by Walter White's initial decision to break bad, that the way that you had to go back in there and do that, that's the same way people watch science fiction. I've never been a science fiction kind of a guy. It doesn't really strike me, but the search for clues, the search for things embedded, what happened here that's going to come back later, the ways that you would break it down and everything like that, that kind of thickly layered stuff is almost inventive unto itself, I think, as far as they took it, not just making you look for clues, but making you obsessively look for clues.
Yeah, and I think that Lost was the first ones that I saw that did that. That's why I voted for
it.
They had Easter eggs buried all over that show. Oh, did you see the angle that his shoe was on the floor and where that? I mean, people were breaking down minutia online about that show, looking for any kind of clue.
In a sense, that kind of makes my point, though, because that maybe you don't exactly call it science fiction or whatever, but it did have science fiction
fantasy.
Yes, Breaking Bad had none of that, and yet they managed to bring the elements of that into it without the supernatural. So I wonder if we're going to see more of that.
We will.
We probably will. Pantheon 7, a year ago, we inducted these ones in here, and already there is one of them that's going to get the boot. So nice to know you, Morgan Freeman, but here's what we had. best multi-sport athlete, Bo Jackson. There were only 2 votes to purge him. And, again, he was elected with over 50% the first time around. Best NFL defensive player, Lawrence Taylor, 2 votes to purge. Only 1 vote to purge Babe Ruth for best baseball player of all time. Best hoops big man, Wilt Chamberlain, 1 vote to purge him. Best college sports facility, the Horseshoe, 4 votes to purge that. Best boxing match, Tyson Douglas, of all things, 5 votes to purge. We almost came to our senses there, but not quite. Best pro wrestler on the microphone, Ric Flair, 2 votes to purge. 5 votes to purge pepperoni as the best pizza topping. We almost got a little more creative there, but we didn't. Best underappreciated music album, thanks to Anthony, we had Exposed by Vince Neil. He arm twisted and lobbied for that one, and it sticks around. 5 purge votes, but it sticks. Another
Have you heard it yet?
I have not heard it. I'll have to sit down.
Say, if you have not heard it, you have to listen to it.
All right.
Everybody loves
the great Motley Crue album that never was. I will seek it out. I love Motley Crue, so what the hell? That'll get me to check on that. Best versatile actor or actress of all time, Morgan Freeman. 7 votes to purge him from the same role that he plays all the time. So we get to do that. Best achievement by the USA. Chris is one of, this was the peaceful transfer of power. Only 1 vote to purge. That was from Nate.
Thanks, Nate.
And best TV show, the 21st century, Breaking Bad. There were 2 votes to purge that. So we are left with a number of ones that stick around here. And again, that is what we had for Pantheon 7. So thoughts on the ones that survived?
All I got is if you could purge God with a good, steady hand and be proud of yourself, more power to you.
I'm sorry. I don't see George Burns' name on this list.
Yeah. And he was also the president, Nelson Mandela. wait, that's all pretty much authority figure. Got it.
He'll live long enough to play Obama.
He hopes.
He probably will.
Listen, and I like Morgan Freeman. There is no bigger fan of Morgan on the Science Channel, you know, Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman. Mm-hmm. I love that show. If you've never watched it, it's great. He basically narrates and hosts it. I mean, but he provides, again, the voice to, you know, he's the authority voice to the science behind each episode. But it's a great show. I like Morgan Freeman, but versatile actor. No.
Yeah, I don't see it either. But, again, that's why we're going to be revoting that, because a number of people didn't see it. Any final thoughts here before we wrap up our analysis of the 91 survivors?
Well, I just want to say that the funny that was pointed out that people didn't hear because we weren't recording, best pizza topping was pepperoni, and Rick elected not to. More pepperoni than cheese.
Pepperoni.
Yeah,
I
shockingly, pepperoni.
And he then claimed, well, who the heck would want pepperoni? As to which we then all pointed out, it's in the Pantheon.
Well, okay, and this is the panel that helped put it there. I will tell
And
you,
again, backing up my complete belief that we should purge even more in this thing.
Well, look, I will maintain this, if nothing else. Pepperoni is more disproportionately popular with this group than at large. Generally, if I get
That's
pepperoni,
not true. Pepperoni is the most popular topping on pizza in the country, and the proof of that is whenever you get a basic, generic takeaway pizza, whether it's the $5 one from Little Caesars or the $6 one from Domino's or pre-made at Sam's Club, the generic, basic pizza that they sell more of than any is pepperoni. And the reason why you see pepperoni, and the chains know what they're doing, is because that's what will sell, so that's what they are providing.
I just assumed it was cheaper for them than, say, sausage or something, or bacon.
Well, they're both pork products, man.
It's not necessarily. I mean, when it comes to working in it, when it comes to running a pizza place, a topping is a topping when it comes down to it, unless you get up to, like, chicken, where it's a little more expensive because the price of chicken's going up.
Has the pepperoni been grass-fed? That's my only question.
Listen to Mr. Tremont here. That's awesome.
Did those, yeah.
Easy, fella.
Did those pigs have a vegan diet?
That's awesome. Well,
were you playing violin music for the swine?
Yeah.
No, what I would say to you, Rick, is think about your free market capitalism. The providers of the pizza companies, have analyzed their sales, and that's why when they are selling these pizzas in a mass-produced sense, pepperoni is by far and away the one that they offer, and they do that because that's what most people like, and they order. They've done their studies, and that's where your proof is. Capitalism is proving that to you. If it was green peppers, then the generic Giorgio's would be green pepper. That's what they would give you. I mean, so believe me, they've done the analysis for you as to what's most popular.
My final point on this.
That said, I still voted to purge it.
Yeah, I voted to purge it as well. My final point on this, and I suppose all of this, is Anthony's whole thing of, like, well, economically, toppings are toppings. There's not much difference. I got two words for you, pal. Truffles. Caviar. If you're putting those on pizza, I don't think we're talking exactly the same kind of thing here. You know, it's not.
No, he said that. He said there are some toppings like chicken that you get up into more expensive.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, because it's not all the same. Well, even chicken. How much more expensive would chicken be than some of the pork
stuff?
Well,
the price of chicken is going up.
Okay.
And it shows even simple things like chicken. Chicken on $9.
Yeah.
Chicken's harder to come by.
That's true. That's true. So we got, again, these 91 that survived are actually 90 if it's going to be a Stairway to Heaven getting revoted upon here. So the next task is to go through and replace as many as we can in Pantheon 8.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.